Let's go live to our hosts at Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville.
Hey, good afternoon, college football fans, and welcome to the 16th annual college football kickoff show right here on The Roar. We are at Southern Side Brewing Company. You just heard that is 25 Delano Drive here in Greenville. Come by and experience what should be an awesome 3 hours. Your four hosts will be here: Mickey Plyler, Faxon Childress, William Quackenbush, and Walt Daptula. In this hour, matter of fact, in just a few short minutes, Shane Beamer, head football coach at the University of South Carolina, is going to join us later today around 6:30. Head coach Dabo Swinney joins us from Clemson, previewing a big win in a couple of weeks. We get all of the national championship stuff. We're going to talk about the Heisman Trophy, college football playoffs, conference champions. It's going to be one of the biggest events of the year. We can't wait to do that. And I am extremely excited to have, who cares about Shane Beamer and Dabo? The actor, the media Google, the media guru, Fred Cunningham. And we're not doing any high school football tonight, you and I. We're going to talk some college football. News Channel 7, Fred Cunningham. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mickey, and good afternoon, everybody. It's a great crowd we have here. We're just on the air and really excited to bring you the 16th annual college football kickoff show. And it's going to be a great one. We're going to be talking to Shane Beamer in just a couple of minutes. We got everybody on scene. We are ready to get going. Let me ask you this. We're about to do 3 hours. Is everybody talked out of of getting ready for this season?
I was going to just not say anything. Just look around and let applause tell the story. I was not going to say anything, but I did. It is in my contract that I have to say words. So I'm glad to be here to say words, Fred.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. I know that there can be some oversaturation at times and people can get burnt out, but personally, I'm not in that camp. I'm ready to spot the ball right now, so let's go, Fred.
I was going to say, let's talk for 3 hours and then play tomorrow.
Well, here's the deal. We wanted you to do this many, many years ago. We were waiting on Indiana to make the playoffs.
Yes.
So now you're Indiana Hoosiers back home again in Indiana. What a season, man. What Cignetti's doing a great job, and you guys had an epic season last year. So maybe we'll do like 2 hours and 45 minutes of Indiana talk.
That would be okay with me, although
I think
I'm Quark's down too.
I think we're in a good place. I already feel really good because I don't think there's any IDS here, Indiana Derangement Syndrome, which I've noticed coming out of the SEC. But we'll I know we're going to be talking about that.
He said IDS. IDS.
IDS. Okay. There you go. Yeah. There you go. I get to the point where I don't want to see any more scrimmage reports. And I mean, you're to the point, I think, when you're worried about your backup long snapper.
Yeah,
and then it's time to get going.
If you're in the Clemson media, you don't even know what a scrimmage report is. You got three 30-minute sessions of stretching and special teams. I did Buddy Sanji's show in Louisiana today in Baton Rouge, and I did an hour with him. They have full access. They're going to the scrimmage Saturday night. They have full access to everything. And I'm like, Buddy D, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of glad we don't have that. I want to have to go over there every single day and watch football practice every single day. But I am ready for week zero, boys. I can tell you that.
You know, in all fairness, when you think about it, though, college football has changed so much. It is now a 24/7, 365 sport, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the portal is always open is kind of an adage that's been applied to 2025 collegiate athletics. And unfortunately, that is currently the truth. So you always have to be managing your roster construction, thinking for the future, and then just the paranoia of who could hit the portal at any given moment, I'm sure, is so fun for all the head coaches in college football.
You know what's funny, though, and Fred, you mentioned it, you sort of get tired of talking through it. You're ready to spot the ball. Man, I love our audience. How you guys here and the people listening out there in radio land, like, y'all don't get tired of talking about it, man. And so it fires us up every day to get on here and say the same thing a bunch of ways or try to find different ways to say the same stuff. I mean, it's unbelievable because you guys never, ever, ever get tired of it, and you keep reminding us. So thank you for that because you keep us going through the off season. And this is a great – I mean, this – from our station, this is a little bit of a love letter to you guys because you bear with us when there's nothing to talk about. We're having to make it up, man.
Somebody get that brown nose off of Qualco.
Hey, man. I got 2 hours and 56 minutes to make people mad. I'm going to make them happy the first 4 minutes.
Good idea right there. It's just the game has just changed so much. And yeah. I would think that putting together a rundown for each of your shows between June going into July – probably used to be like, what are we going to talk about between 1 and 2 or between 10 and 11? And I think you probably have to cut stuff, don't you?
Oh, we do way too much. We do a 5 or 6 hour show now. At the end of the day, I've got 15 topics to talk about. We get to 3 or 4 because of how it always works out. I think we got a good special guest, though, Fred.
That is right. You know, you want to start any kind of a show like this. You want a big headliner. You know, you want Bruce Springsteen to open for you. You want a scoring drive that's 2 plays, 80 yards. You want a first pitch leadoff home run. How about this? Joining us from Columbia is the head coach of the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. Shane Beamer is here. Coach, thank you for being with us.
You are welcome. Thanks for that kind introduction as well.
Great to have you here. Faxon Childress is here. Faxon, lead us off.
Hey, Coach, we appreciate the time. I want to get things started with asking you about the defensive side of the ball. Obviously, you guys had one of the best units in the country last year and lost a lot to the NFL draft. Talk to me a little bit about the progression on the defensive side of the ball throughout the course of the transfer portal season and then this offseason getting ramped up for a big matchup week one.
Yeah, we knew, obviously, we lost a lot of production off last year's defense and knew we were going to during the season. So something that we knew we needed to attack as soon as the season was over at all three levels of the defense through recruiting and the transfer portal and feel like we have. We've got some young guys that are ready for their opportunity. We brought in some transfers, particularly along the defensive line. And I'm excited. You know, they may not be household names right now, but they're a bunch of good young players that we're excited about, and some new additions that have transferred in here that have really thrived since they got into our program. So, you know, time will tell, but fired up about this group and looking forward to watching them compete next weekend.
Walt Deptula is here as well from Road Rage. Walt, you got anything for Coach Beamer?
Hey, Coach. Walt Deptula. Pleasure to speak with you. By the way, when you were hired, Coach, I wasn't sure about that hire at all. I was completely wrong. I'm generally pretty good at this. I was completely wrong about you. I think you've done an amazing job, and it's really fun to watch you coach and watch your teams play. So thank you for that.
Well, I appreciate it. Sorry you weren't hired on me when I got hired. Well, you know, I appreciate you feeling that way now, though.
Well, you know what? You know what, Coach? I'm just being honest. I mean, I said some things back then that I regretted, and basically I've been in your corner ever since. So you've done an amazing job.
Well, I appreciate it. No, I'm sure there were a lot of questions when I got hired and people looking at me and saying, why the heck did they hire that guy? He's never been a head coach, never been this, never been that.
Yeah, that was me.
I'm surrounded by some great people in this program, players and coaches and staff, and really proud of what we've accomplished, but still a lot more to get done here in Columbia as well.
You were asked about the defense. Let me flip to the other side of the ball. I have a couple things for you quickly. On Rasul Faison, I know it's got to be incredibly frustrating. The inconsistency of the NCAA, the way they slow play these kids, I mean, they have just kept him in limbo. Anything new on that? What's your level of frustration with him now?
Nothing new. Disappointing that we still, you know, don't have an answer. I understand the NCAA has a lot on their plate. I understand they're dealing with other cases besides this one, but this is one that, you know, we've been communicating with the NCAA for a while now, and certainly, you know, confident and trust that they'll, you know, make the right decision. But at the same time, the urgency is certainly picked up because we play in whatever it is, 8, 10, 9 days, 10 days, whatever it may be.
Let me ask you about Lenoris. I mean, obviously, he's one of the most sensational athletes I've ever seen at the position. I think people vastly underrate his ability as a passer. I mean, he completed 65% in his first year as a starter in the SEC. I thought he was amazing, absolutely incredible. It also seems, Coach, that he has a great work ethic. I know he worked with Ramon Robinson in the offseason. What's the next level in the progression of Lenoris Sellers?
I think one, just experience naturally. People forget him. This is only his third year in college football coming up, and last season was his first season as a starting quarterback, and it was the middle of the season before he, you know, really was 100% healthy and playing full games in the SEC. So as I look at it, one, the experience, but then two, just the fundamentals of the position, the knowledge of the offense, all that's going to be better. He's more comfortable in this system. He has a better idea of where to go with the ball quicker than what he did last year. Not that he didn't last year, but just with experience in this system, you kind of learn the XYZ of everything that we're doing schematically. So he's taking those steps. There's no question he's throwing the ball well and just a fantastic worker, fantastic competitive spirit, and just a great person to begin with.
It was awesome to speak to you, Coach. I think we have to let you go. I'll send it back to Fred.
All right, thank you, Walt. Baxton, you got more?
Yeah, Coach, just a couple more questions for you before we let you get out of here. I want to ask specifically about Mazio Bennett Jr. We became very familiar with his talents in the upstate at Greenville. He had a phenomenal freshman season, in my opinion. How are you looking for him to build on that headed into the upcoming year?
Yeah, just that. You know, for Mazio to come in and do what he did as a true freshman was really impressive. He's done nothing but work and improve since last season. There's a lot of competition in that wide receiver room now, more so than last year in so many ways. So proud of the way he's worked, and there's no question for him to be a young guy. He's very much the leader in that receiver room, and just continuing to work on his craft as a wide receiver and all the position entails.
And then, Coach, final question for you. Talk to me a little bit about the big boys up front, offensive line. There's no denying that you guys have a ton of talented players. How have you seen that progression from that unit throughout the course of this offseason?
They've come along. We've recruited well there, and a lot of guys from there in the upstate, whether it be Blake Franks at Greenville or Marquis Anderson from over at Dorman, we've really recruited well from that area, and it's time for those guys to take the next step, and they have. We've brought in some transfers that have blended in nicely. We've added a true freshman from there in the upstate with Shed Surratt from Gaffney. Shed's going to be a fantastic player for us here at Carolina. So overall, I don't know if our depth is where I want it to be. We're a little bit thin from an overall scholarship numbers, but as far as the top 10, 11 guys that we have in there, I really like the group, and they've worked really, really hard and have done a nice job this offseason.
Hey, Coach Walt,
thanks for the time, Coach. Best of luck on – oh, sorry.
Yeah, Coach Walt Tiptool again. I guess I misread the clock. So I'm going to squeeze a couple more, and if you don't mind. Let me ask you, I know you lost a number of guys up front, some really good players, Sanders, et cetera, Kyle Kennard. Kennard had a great year. Everyone knows about the 11 sacks, but was the underrated element of his game the ability to set a hard edge, and do you have the capacity right now to be able to do that?
Yeah, certainly do. He did a nice job against the run and the pass. Kyle did, and he had great players around him at all three levels of the defense. But absolutely, that was a strong suit of his. But I feel like all of our guys, that's what they're asked to do, and do a good job of it. And we'll have to replace a lot of production from Kyle, but with Dylan Stewart being a year older and the people we have around him, confident that we will.
And just one more question on the offensive side, on the receivers, which Faxon started on. Nicholas Harbor, I thought, took a step forward last year. Obviously, he's one of the greatest athletes in the world of football, period. What can we expect in his evolution? Obviously, he's a dedicated football player now. I thought he took a big step forward. What are you expecting from Nicholas Harbor this year? And I also want to ask about Brian Rowe. I know he had a really good spring.
Yeah, Nick certainly not running track this spring was a big decision for him, not an easy decision for him, but that has done nothing but help him as a football player to be able to go through all of spring practice and the summer focused solely on football, which he wasn't able to do last year because he was running track. So I would expect him to take a big jump as a receiver. And then Brian's a guy we're excited about, a true freshman that's come in and really made an impact. We signed 7 freshman receivers, and there's a chance that all 7 may play for us this season. It's a really talented group, and Brian's certainly right there in that mix and brings a big playability to the offense when the ball's in his hands.
Thank you, Coach. Pleasure speaking with you. Fred?
Thank you.
All right, Walt. Faxon, thank you very much. Coach Shane Beamer, thank you for spending some time with us. Best of luck to the Gamecocks this year. We know it's going to be an outstanding season. I know the South Carolina fan base could not be more excited.
You got it. Appreciate you having me on and excited to kick off y'all's show. Hope the rest of the program goes well for you. Go Cox.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Coach. Coach Shane Beamer of the South Carolina Gamecocks getting a pretty good round of applause here.
Even some Clemson fans or some people that look like Clemson fans are applauding.
There are a lot of people with orange shirts on that gave him a hand, so I like that. That's good.
Shane's a likable guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Like for
He's a likable guy. He really is. He's a likable guy. You have to respect what he's done, and I would agree with that completely. There's no Will Muschamp element with Shane Beamer.
Yeah, when he gets
darn it.
Yeah, it's right.
Way easier.
when it gets a little bit cranky, it's him sticking up for his team. He's sticking up for his program. He's sticking up for his players. At those times. And they're rare.
Culture is the word we overuse probably. The reason he got that job was because of what he believed in, and he's done a great job of that. I think they can change their culture. They can change everything about what Muschamp was doing. Muschamp had this philosophy. He's going to do everything opposite of Dabo. And, boy, what a terrible strategy. Where Shane Beamer runs a lot like a lot of football coaches are now. Culture and retention, you know, some of these things that coaches need to talk about and think about in the new age of college football. But he's done a terrific job so far. Special teams as well. And he's got a big one against his alma mater coming up. Hey, breaking news in college football that the SEC is going to 9 games in 2026. So you got to think the ACC will follow that soon. I think maybe all across college football, all 9 conference games now, the television packages. But just came across during the interview that 9 games in the SEC in 2026.
Can I say this? Can we go existential crisis for a second?
Sure.
Can I just fast forward like 5 years?
Yeah.
One of two things is going to happen here, guys. And if you see a third way, you let me know. One is the ACC is going to do this. Everybody's going to be fine. We're going to roll in our merry way. The SEC and Big Ten are going to add 10 games and exempt South Carolina, a 10th game against each other. So it's going to be like an SEC Big Ten challenge. South Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia, and Florida will be exempt because of their rivalries, or they're not going to exempt them. They're going to make everybody play, and those 4 teams are going to be added to the mix, whatever the mix is in 2030 when we expand this thing.
I would say the other thing, the third possibility would be that by the time we settle on all that, we'll already have the super conference stuff, and there won't be ACC, Big Ten, Big 12. We'll have 2 major super conferences, or 1 big super conference instead.
And then it gets the fun of who gets in and who gets left out. Because the music's going to end, and there's going to be a few people standing looking for a chair.
Way fewer chairs.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little puzzled by all of this. I mean, I'm puzzled because I listened to the SEC commissioner a few weeks back say he didn't really want to go to 9 games. So, and yet here we are. So, you know, that's the nature of college football. I think we live in such a new world order, Fred, when it comes to college football, that it's almost impossible to forecast what the next step is. You know, if you told me 10 years ago that college football would look like it is today, I would have said you're crazy. So where it goes next is beyond my guessing right now.
Well, it's interesting. We've got the TV guy here with us, but that's TV, man, yeah. Obviously. That's not – Sankey doesn't want it, but guess what? ESPN ABC
that's right.
does.
Yeah.
And they're going to get what they're paying for.
We tell you, not we, as if I'm in the TV guy, but TV says when you play could be Thursday, could be Friday, could be Saturday, could be Sunday. They play 7 days a week, basically, if you count the opening week. MAC action Tuesday and Wednesday nights. You play at noon or 3:30 or all over the place. These conferences grow, and you've got a home game in Bloomington, Indiana this week, and then you're on the road in Los Angeles next week, and then you go to Rutgers. They're in charge.
You know what's fun? 2 things here. One is, Fred, this is where you found out that we brought you in here to yell at you as the TV guy about how TV's ruining everything.
I'm going to hide from this friendly
crowd. Fred negotiated
crowd.
All of this.
That's right. That's right. So that's number 1. Number 2 is, you know, we get some pushback when we talk about schedules a lot. To me, the schedule and the sequencing of games has never been more important because of that, because of the wear and tear and because of the importance of rest. Not just in rest and travel, but rest and recovery. Like, there's a couple teams that have, like, rested disadvantages from other teams a bunch of times in their schedule. At some point, that's going to catch up to you, not necessarily because of travel, but because they get a chance to get their unhealthy people healthy and you don't. And because of the way – I think because of how much travel there is and that kind of stuff, I think that just sort of widens those gaps in some ways, especially as we get down toward the end of the year.
I also just find this intriguing that this directly coincides with the Big Ten coming out last week and asking for the mega playoff expansion of 24 or 28 teams. But at the end of the day, I feel like they're asking for too much dip on their chip on purpose, because the sweet spot's going to be somewhere between 16 and 20 eventually. And now with the SEC going to 9 games, like, we see what happens in the current playoff in the AP poll, where you just jam-pack as many SEC teams as possible, like sardines, into the back end of it. We're just going to see that on a different scale now. So now with them going to 9 games, there's going to be more losses as a byproduct of that for the teams in the SEC, but I still think they're going to have that protection as the playoff continues to expand.
I do agree with everything you said, but I do want to point out one thing. SCS, how many teams make their playoffs?
24. Are they still 24?
Yeah, yeah, I think it's 24.
24. I agree with everything you're saying. But there is a model out there. I saw that headline, too, and I thought it was insane that I thought, well, you know, they do play 24.
I know we have to take a break. The other part of the 19 thing there is that the SEC schools are requiring them to play at least one non-conference from the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, or Notre Dame every season as well.
Or Notre Dame.
Gosh. So they get all in that, but that's it's not just the nine games. They also have to play one other game rather than having three passes.
Yeah, let me bring Walt in real quick. You had a quick thought?
Yeah, Fred, the other thing is, you know, if we ever move to this 28 thing, I know it sounds way over the top initially, but, you know, what was projected or was suggested, excuse me, was that the ACC and the Big 12 would get five bids. Well, you know, that suggestion of 7-7-5-5 is better than anybody's offering the ACC or Big 12 right now. So actually, if it does move to that, that may actually give the ACC some security that they don't have right now.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Speaking of SEC, we want to talk about when we come back?
We're going to talk about the SEC. We're going to talk about South Carolina. We've heard a lot about them. Georgia, just down the road. They're in a drought right now. We'll talk about that and much more. We are live at Southside Brewing Company. It's the college football kickoff show, and we're back in just a few moments.
Ariat delivers the best in men's Western apparel for the job site, the rodeo, and date night. Ariat offers a wide selection of patterns and styles, from plaids and checks to embroidered prints. Color-rich solids, Ariat's performance shirts are tailored with advanced movement features. From fabrics designed with cooling comfort and sun protection technology, from retro to classic, new west to old, whatever your style, Ariat has you covered. Shop Ariat at Harrison's in Malden and Spartanburg or harrisonsusa.com. Harrison's, the home of work, Western, and wow!
Honey, am I a procrastinator?
Well, for 4 summers, you said you were going to fix the dock.
I did?
You did. Every time a deck chair slid into the lake.
Well, maybe I am a procrastinator.
At Yoder's Building Services, we've got the best materials for any outdoor living project. From Yellowwood brand pressure treated pine to TimberTech composite and PVC decking.
You also said you were going to the gym.
I did.
Yoder's Building Services. Where quality is a way of life. Visit goyoders.com.
Looking for the ultimate ride? At Boneyard Cycles, they've got everything you need to hit the road in style. Whether you're after a new bike, pre-owned, parts, or top-tier service and repairs, Boneyard Cycles has you covered. From Harleys to cruisers to sport bikes and everything in between, Paul and his crew are here to get you on the road in style with no dealer or dock fees ever. So what are you waiting for? Visit Boneyard Cycles at 507 Pierman Dairy Road in Anderson or at BoneyardCyclesOnline.net today.
Your fantasy draft is here. The Smack Talk is starting, and this season, ESPN Bet is giving you more ways to ride with your squad. Introducing ESPN Bet Fan Center, where you can instantly link and bet on your fantasy teams right in the ESPN Bet app. An enhanced sports betting experience only from ESPN Bet, the sports book for sports fans. Download the app today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
Craving real Buffalo, New York-style pizza and wings? You don't have to leave the upstate. Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden is serving the real deal. Stone oven pizza, thicker than New York City style, never doughy, with the perfect crisp crust. And the wings? Crispy, juicy, buttery, spicy. Authentic Buffalo flavor with a tangy finish. Feeling adventurous? Try the Beef on Weck, a Western New York classic. Moretti's is just off I-385 on East Butler Road in Malden. Moretti's, where everyone's a regular.
Roto-Rooter is the original sewer and drain cleaning company. Our founder invented the first electric drain cleaning machine in 1935. Not all Rooter companies are the same. Roto-Rooter is the best choice for plumbing, drain cleaning, and pipe repairs. When water isn't going down the drain like it's supposed to, call the experts at Roto-Rooter at 1-800-GET-ROTO.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name, and away go troubles down the drain. Roto-Rooter.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
Need assistance with door and window projects? The Home Depot can help. From inspiration and materials to ordering and installation, our free Millwork virtual apron service can get you moving and doing. Plus, we speak Spanish too. Our associates can help you tackle complex jobs without you leaving the job site, saving you time and money. Call us at 1-833-HD-APRON or visit homedepot.com/MVA. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
You're listening to the Roar's College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Fred Cunningham here with you. I am serving as the moderator this evening for our experts, Mickey Plyler here from the Mickey Plyler Show, William Quackenbush from Out of Bounds, Faxon Childress is here from Faxon Sports, Walt Deptula is back in the studio, the host of Road Rage. Walt is kind of like the designated survivor in that, you know, if lightning strikes here or something like that, Walt will have to fill the remaining 2.5 hours. I hope you're – Walt, you got any material?
Oh, yeah. I know Walt well enough. He's got material.
Yeah. You know, Fred, I have an illness, so I basically live this stuff 24 hours a day. So, yeah, I can do more. My voice –
He would do the whole broadcast day tomorrow.
Yeah, my voice on the other end, Fred, probably can't.
Oh, okay. I've listened to Walt for many, many years, and he strikes me as the kind of guy who has two large TVs, both turned to YouTube with four screens so
like
he can
that.
Watch eight games simultaneously.
So it's an Octobox?
Octobox. I like that. This is our 16th annual college football kickoff show. We are live with a great crowd here at Southern Side Brewing Company. Come out and see us. We're going to be here until 8 o'clock tonight. All right, we heard in our first segment from the coach of the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer, and let's talk about the SEC because really they really struggle for publicity. So I think that would be very good here in segment two if we give the Southeastern Conference some needed opportunities to, you know, get some exposure.
One quick announcement, taking care of business. Tonight here at Southern Side Brewery, they have a Roar beer, and for the proceeds from that go to Tigers for Tatas.
Oh, yeah.
So that's great news there. One of our questions on our rundown sheet was, is there pressure on the SEC to win a national championship? This is the, you know, two straight years without that. Would that – no, because you can just claim them. You don't have to win them.
That's right.
You just claim them.
Congratulations to Auburn.
Can I just say, like, a couple of those are like somebody came up with a poll, like, last week and retroactively said Auburn was the best team in, like, 1913, and Auburn's like – yeah, it's not even like some poll that we don't recognize anymore claimed it back then. It's like somebody claimed them last week, and they're like, yeah, we agree.
Bama
110 years ago.
Bama had one where they had like a loss and two ties, and there were like three totally undefeated teams, and they had an AP champion, a UPI champion in the 30s or 40s, whatever, and Bama claimed the national championship. It's like, you just claim them.
Classic SEC.
But
lose eight games.
Why stop at nine? Just do 30 or 40. Just keep claiming them. Who cares?
I mean, Frost is back at UCF, so I guess it's just open season to claim whatever you want at this point for national championships, right? Just claim it?
I think they should.
Gaffney High School has double-figure state championships, and there's one that they claim that's not official because I think they were penalized because they played a team from outside South Carolina or something like that. And I always thought that was kind of peculiar. And then Auburn this week makes them look like that's perfectly above board. So.
Auburn says, hold my Roar beer for Tigers.
Hey, that's right, Tigers for that. We appreciate that, all the proceeds.
Thank them for that. All right, we can talk about South Carolina. We heard a lot. Let's talk about Georgia because, you know, and I think Clemson went through this a little bit in that you get to that level, you're winning national championships, you're playing for them, and then you just expect that's going to happen every year. And I think a little bit that was the thing with Kirby Smart in Georgia. Win a couple of championships, they're recruiting at such a high level, you just think, well, it's going to be like this every year, and it's a whole lot harder than you think.
Yeah, I would agree. My thought on Georgia is simply this. If you look at their football team last year, there were elements that you have to be concerned about moving forward. For the first time that I can remember in my life, now somebody might – I'm 1989, so just give me through 1990. When's the last time Georgia didn't run the ball? Like, we know they don't have 1,000-yard receivers. They didn't run the ball. You know, Clemson fans think Georgia ran the ball because they stopped caring about Georgia when they lost to Georgia. Georgia averaged 6 yards a carry against Clemson. They didn't average more than 4.5 yards a carry against anybody the whole rest of the year. How in the world are you Georgia? You can't run the ball. To me, they have to run the ball better. And it's up front. The further they get removed from Matt Luke, the more we're seeing the benefits here. They might be seeing the consequences of that. But to me, that's the biggest thing. Defensively, they're going to be fine. I think the passing game is going to be okay, but it may help to have mobility at quarterback. They did not run the ball well last year, and that is going to be a problem.
Yeah, you do game scores all the time in baseball, and I was thinking about, like, Georgia last year. Georgia did not look like Georgia at Kentucky. They didn't look like Georgia against Mississippi State. They didn't look like Georgia. Florida's quarterback, they're not playing an Ivy League quarterback. That game is different. Ole Miss crushed them. Georgia Tech had them, you know, gave the game away, and then Notre Dame comes in and you know, shuts them down to 10 points. There's a lot of games last year. Georgia did anything close, like a mere nub of what they used to be. They've got to get back to being more physical, stopping to run. You said run the ball. They're 102nd in the country running the football last year.
Wow.
That's crazy. And that's the identity of Georgia football, is running the football. And I do think that you're going to see a little bit of a bounce back this year for Georgia in that element. And I think a big part of that is what Noah Thomas, Zachariah Branch, Dylan Bell, Colby Young, London Humphreys can do in the passing game, right? Because people got to the point last season where they were stacking the box because they didn't respect Georgia's weapons, not even to just get open, but to actually catch the football when they were open, because they probably would have beat Notre Dame without two massive drops from Smith and Bell. So I do believe that Branch is going to be one of the most impactful transfers in the country this season, and I think with the passing game taking the next step and Gunnar Stockton at the helm instead of Carson Beck, with the way that they've rallied around him, I think you're going to start to see Georgia look more like Georgia, for lack of a better term, this season. And I really like those backs, too, with Frazier and Robinson and Walker and McCray. Like, they've got dogs in the backfield, no pun intended.
Walt, Georgia, go.
Yeah, I think Georgia, Fred, to me, is the biggest mystery team in the country. I could see them tilting either way. You know, the last 2 years, they were prohibitive, number one, before the year. I didn't believe in them either the last 2 years. And now there's still more questions. I mean, they lost Walker and Williams, who are the two best players on that defense. The defense wasn't great. They haven't really had much of a pass rush. Part of that is the way they align defensively. Offensively, they haven't run the ball, but they haven't been a running team. The last 3 years, they've been a passing team. They won two national titles throwing the ball with Stetson Bennett. And that was the evolution of Georgia. It was the evolution of Kirby Smart. They moved away from the old Alabama model and moved toward more of an open model. They stuck with that last year, and their run game got worse and worse. So they absolutely need to reestablish that. They're loaded at wide receiver, at least on paper. You know, I ranked their wide receiver room 11th in the country. Noah Thomas is a 6'6 target. Colby Young is a 6'6 target. Zachariah Branch is a talent. Bell is ability. London Humphreys, I don't know why they didn't play him last year. He was the only guy who could catch the ball, and they refused to put him on the field. So that's a mystery to me. But, you know, I think it's also telling that, you know, we talk about Georgia's recruiting and nothing but five-star guys and four-star guys. The AP just came out with their All-American teams. There were no Georgia players on the first or second team. They had two guys on the second team. And I think that's a bit telling about where the program is right now. So I think they're one of the more interesting teams in the country. I wouldn't be shocked if they're better than I put them. I also wouldn't be shocked if they're 12 or 13.
Here's what I'm shocked about, Walt. You know, they say this in like what you practice against all the time. You know, so if you're a heavy run team and you're tough and you're physical on both sides of the ball, you stop the run and all that. I think it's got an effect on Georgia on defense as well. I mean, if you think about it, Ole Miss was much more physical than Georgia last year. Notre Dame was much more physical than Georgia last year. You could say Kentucky basically was more physical than Georgia last year, and that's shocking. Of all the shocking things, to see Kirby Smart team not be the most physical team, and it happened three or four times last season. Maybe that's because of the offense that they're not as physical. You know, in practice, you don't see it every single day like it
was. 100% right, Mickey. And, you know, and Gunnar Stockton's a mystery unto himself. You know, the guy drives an old F-150. The Carson Beck Lambo is gone. Now we're in with Gunnar Stockton and his old F-150. And, you know, he does give them a little bit of an it factor, a little bit of a pulse. There's a toughness to him. We saw that in the second Texas game when he came in to start the second half. He gave him a little bit of life. But over the course of a whole season, what is he? We don't really know. Like I think I ranked him 11th among the SEC quarterbacks, but from a Georgia standpoint, could he be the guy that gives them a little bit of life at that position that they sorely need? Yeah, I think he could.
Can I say this? Because I talk about what Georgia's not. You know what Georgia is? To me, they're the highest floor team south of the Ohio River, okay? Ohio State has the highest floor in
America.
Where
the heck's the Ohio River, by the way? Could you not say, like, something I would know?
You know, I mean,
where does the Ohio River go to?
I don't know. It just it flows.
That's part of our geography.
I was told there'd be no geography.
That's right. Well, yeah, the Ohio River just flows till it stops, okay. Wherever it goes.
All right.
To me, that's Georgia, though. Like, can you imagine riding a playoff field, and I'm not trying to give anything away for anybody, but and not having Georgia in it? I mean, I think even more so than – look how young Texas's roster is.
Right.
Look at some of the games on Texas's schedule. To me, Georgia's schedule and what Kirby Smart has done, it has raised the floor to the point that even with all the concerns that we're all talking about and all the question marks that we have, we assume they're going to figure out most of them, at least to get to 10 wins, 11 wins, and to play in the SEC championship. I feel like it's still a pretty sure thing that Georgia's going to figure it out, not to a national championship level, in my opinion, but to a make the playoff level, to a win the SEC level, I think
they're going to impress voters because they're going to have some big-time chances at home. Alabama is going to be down. I'm going to tell you that later.
Yep.
But Ole Miss comes in and Texas comes in. They've got a chance to really impress them with those pretty wins at home.
And that Georgia Tech game, they bought it for $10 million. So now it's at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and they don't have to
Georgia
go into Bobby Dodd.
I'm just telling you that, right? They better beat Georgia Tech.
They're not.
I'm not sure they are.
They're not.
You mentioned Texas. Let's talk about Texas, Kwok, because they are the pick of the media, for whatever that is worth, to win the SEC. They were the overwhelming pick over Georgia and then Alabama third. The Longhorns, we know they've got Lamborghinis. What do they got under the hood?
To me, they have tons of talent, but it's very unproven. I mean, my biggest question about Texas is not really Arch Manning, even though I think with so much newness at the quarterback position at the top of the country, I think you could probably just chalk that up, okay? My question about Texas is, can you roll through multiple graduating to the NFL interior defensive lineman consecutive years? Like, you could do it once and that's fine, but I feel like they're not putting back that level of talent right in the middle of the defense. We know at Clemson you can't just do that. Like, you might do it once, but at some point you've got to have those bodies. Maybe they do, but that's a question I have. The second thing I have is Oklahoma. They have won two games against Oklahoma in the 3 years Brent Venables has been there, where Oklahoma did not have a snowball's chance in Columbia of making that even a competitive game. But the one time it was a competitive game, Oklahoma won. And I'm looking at that game this year, and I'm thinking Oklahoma cares and is capable. I think Oklahoma has a great chance to beat Texas. Then how do things change the second half of Texas's schedule with difficult games on the calendar and a Georgia team that had, I think, a combined 7 points and 12 yards and still beat them last year? Like, how did Georgia beat them? They didn't move the ball at all. They beat them twice. So Texas has to figure out a way to beat Oklahoma and beat Georgia this year. Otherwise, they could have a little bit of a dip, I think, while everybody sort of gets acclimated.
Well, what do you think of the Longhorns?
First, Fred, I think I'm losing my voice. I sound like Scott Farrell today. It works for him. Maybe I'll copy that. Hey, on Texas, look, again, they're hyper-talented. Obviously, they had to remake the offensive line. The good news for them is I think Trevor Goolsby, who played a lot at the end of last year at left tackle, I think he's better than Banks, and he was a top 10 draft pick. So, you know, I think Goolsby's really good. I think the offensive line as a whole, still a little bit of a question. They get Wisner back at tailback. Wisner was a revelation last year. He was really good. He split time with Blue in that backfield. You know, at some point, C.J. Baxter becomes a factor, but I don't know how early he's coming off that knee injury. Ryan Wingo is a freak of nature at wide receiver. He's the next big thing in Texas. And then, remember, late they added Emmett Moseley, the transfer wide receiver from Stanford, and Jack Andrews, the tight end from Cal. They got two good players in those two guys. I think that's going to help them. Kwok's right about the defensive front. We don't really know about that. What I do think they have is I think they probably have the best pass rush room in America. I think Colin Simmons and Trey Moore, who's the UTSA transfer, I think both those guys are elite pass rushers. And if they wind up winning the Ohio State game, I think it'll be because of those two guys. But, you know, look, Arch Manning's going to be really good, but it's a lot of pressure. You know, he's now the Heisman front runner and all this stuff. His own family wants to play that down. And I understand that. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him. But I think this is a really good football team. They have a few questions, but they have more answers than they do questions.
Yeah, I agree with the majority of Walt's assessment there. And obviously, you know, with Arch coming onto the scene,
there's a lot of unknown, but we're going to know pretty fast against Ohio State's defense in week one. Yeah. And then when you look down the schedule, and we're going to do a lot of schedule talk throughout the course of the program today, I like the way the schedule breaks to a certain extent for Texas. I think that you could make an argument on paper. This is the most talented team in the country. They're deep at key positions. Last year, as Walt alluded to, they had some of those all-SEC caliber O-linemen go down. They didn't miss a beat in the college football playoff. They didn't miss a beat in the SEC championship game. And in a weird way, I am so confident in this offensive line that is replacing four starters, because I think the backups were good enough to plug and play last year at a borderline all-SEC level. Like, I think it's going to be a growing process, but I'm very confident in the O-line. I think Baxter's a superstar in the making, provided he can get back to healthy, as Walt alluded to. Him and Wisner should be a nice 1-2 punch. And then Wingo is just a really, really good player. Arch is going to have a cushy job and a cushy and easy life, which is a very good thing for a young quarterback. And also, he's going to be able to ease into SEC play to a certain degree. After Ohio State, they do get San Jose State, UTEP, and Sam Houston State, and then a bye week. So after the Ohio State game, you have 4 weeks to essentially prep for your SEC slate. You're at Florida, Oklahoma, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State, and then Vanderbilt before another bye. There's no reason that Texas should have more than one loss on their schedule at that point, in my opinion. And then you let the chips fall against Georgia. Do I think this team's going to the SEC championship game again? No, not, probably not. But I think they're one of those teams in the SEC that's good enough to win 9-10 games and backdoor into the back of the 12-team playoff.
Fred, let me give you one quick point. My biggest concern, I think they're talented. I think they recruited well. The line of scrimmage, their defense last year was top five across the board. I worry about Sarkisian. The times that somebody has equal talent or close to equal talent, Georgia beat him twice last year. Clemson went close to him, and they got in the fourth quarter game with them.
Yeah.
Arizona State gave the game away. You go back and look at the past. The man was 34-29 at a good Washington program. He was 12-6 and 7-5 in the Pac-12 at a good Southern Cal program. Those first few years at Texas, they beat him in the Big 12 against bad teams. And when you have equal or close to equal talent, and that's not very often. But I think Sarkisian does not prepare football teams in big games very well. Washington beat them when the talent level is close. You get close in talent, and it doesn't happen often. I think Sarkisian is out-prepared by the opponent.
I want to do a lightning round kind of real quick. Mickey, we used to do charter football games together.
Oh, yeah.
He remembers what it's like to do a TV tease. Yeah. Earlier he mentioned Alabama, and you were not enthusiastic.
Oh, no. I think Alabama's in big-time trouble this season. I think Kellen DeBoer's in big-time trouble.
On Alabama, I think they're going to go 9-3. I think they're going to be all right. I don't know if DeBoer is going to get fired, but I think they're going to miss the playoff.
Alabama's fine, but
playoff
you're not going to see – no.
What, two straight years without a playoff team, and Kalen DeBoer, I'm telling you, man's on the hot seat. They fired Bill Curry after going 10-2.
Yeah. Walt?
Yeah, I sat here last year and said Alabama wasn't making the playoff. Nick Saban knew he didn't have a playoff team. That's the real reason he left college football. He was in the business of winning national championships, not losing four games. And he wouldn't want to coach this team this year because I think at best they're 7-5. I don't even know if they finish ranked. I'm not even sure they beat Florida State. And if they don't,
if you want to do a short segment, go over the players that scare you at Alabama this year.
That'd
be a very short segment.
Hey, Mickey,
they don't look like Alabama.
When Ramona was away for a week, I asked producers, the substitute teacher producers, all week long to name one player in Alabama's defense. Nobody could name a single player. That's the point. You know, they have receivers. That's great. But you know, look, if this is the answer at quarterback, then why didn't he play last year? Because Milrow stunk up the joint, you know, and now they've lost Jam Miller. He's the only running back of consequence they had. He rushed for 600 yards last year. The next leading rusher had 140 yards. So I think that makes Florida State even more confident. If they lose that game, they'll be lucky to make a bowl, because I know they're going to be a 7-point favorite over South Carolina and LSU and Oklahoma. I think they lose all those games. I think they lose to Auburn, too.
They lose to Florida State, they might not be allowed back into the state
right.
of Alabama. We've mentioned four teams in the SEC. Anybody else you want to mention real quick? We talked about
I love Ole Miss. I think Simmons is going to have a big year. I think LSU is going to have a big year. Matter of fact, it's interesting when we get into college football playoff talk. Mm-hmm. I've got some teams in there that other people aren't talking about as far as the playoff goes. I'm gonna make some people mad, but I've got some interesting all across it, but interesting SEC teams making it.
My sleeper SEC team for this year is Missouri. Admittedly, today the report coming out that they still don't have a quarterback and are going to do the whole 2QB gimmick thing in week one. That's a bit alarming, but the schedule's cake, and I think Drinkwitz is the most underrated coach in the country. I like him going to win 10 games this year.
Oklahoma is going to go to the conference title game.
Ooh.
I like that.
I like bold, bold. Walt, anybody else we haven't talked about in the SEC you want to bring up?
Yeah, I don't know about haven't talked about, Fred, but I'm really high on Oklahoma. I put them 10th way back when I did my poll. I think that defensively, I think they have the second-best edge rush room in the country. I think Adebowari, who had one sack last year, was undersized. I think he jumps to, like, double-digit sacks. And when I look at John Mateer, I mean, I think John Mateer is a war daddy. I mean, I think he's just a tremendous football player. You know, I know this already, but I was watching more film on him this morning. I mean, I think Mateer brings a Tebow element to that football team, but he's so much more athletic and so much more dangerous in space. And I think he gives Oklahoma that type of guy. And I think he's going to raise the entire level of that offense. And as such, I mean, I know Oklahoma's schedule is tough, but I agree with Kwok on this front. I do think Texas is elite. I think Texas is 100% going to be in the SEC championship game. But I do think Oklahoma has a chance to beat them this year. And if Oklahoma beats them, then they're a mortal lock guarantee. But I have Oklahoma as a playoff team.
And the biggest thing for OU as well, Jaden Ott, the running back from Cal, who was so banged up last year and didn't have good numbers 2 years ago. You can make an argument he was a top three back in the country. If he can get back on form and, you know, he is actually healthy like we're being told he is, that would be big for Oklahoma.
But he's
you
also
are listening
not,
to the roar.
He's also not in the Pac-12 anymore, Faxon. And, you know, that's why I think life's got
true.
A little more difficult for him, too. So we'll see. But that combination with Ian Barnes should be much better than anything they had.
You are listening to The Roar. This is the 16th annual College Football Kickoff Show. We are live at Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville, and we will be right back.
Sometimes it's the little victories that mean the most. Those everyday celebrations that bring a smile to our faces and joy to our hearts. At Ingles, we know there's no one you'd rather share those miniature, memorable moments with than family.
Hey, that's awesome.
Ingles, all the ingredients for family.
Tiger fans, beat the heat with Elkmont. Whether you're cooling off with a day at the lake, heading for cooler climates on vacation, or gearing up for game day, Elkmont has everything you need. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is your destination for summer fun. Conveniently located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ElkMont TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
Federal HVAC tax credits end December 31st. Don't miss out. Call Blue Ridge Heating and Air for your free estimate from Field Supervisor Pete. He'll help you choose the perfect Armstrong air system, quality comfort you can count on. And yes, he'll bring a free bottle of our famous Furnace Fuel Hot Sauce. Upgrade your comfort, cut energy bills, and lock in those credits before they're gone. Call now. Ask for Pete. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com.
Everyone knows nothing goes better with football than Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca remain your reliable source for game day food. Get your trays, nuggets, minis, strips, and more. Herb, class of 82, and Carol, class of 84, know the importance of football and great food, so get on the Chick-fil-A app or call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Chick-fil-A of Seneca at 864-886-9080 to make sure you're all set to eat what you love during the big game.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Your fantasy draft is here. The Smack Talk is starting, and this season, ESPN Bet is giving you more ways to ride with your squad. Introducing ESPN Bet Fan Center, where you can instantly link and bet on your fantasy teams right in the ESPN Bet app. An enhanced sports betting experience only from ESPN Bet, the sports book for sports fans. Download the app today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
You're listening to the Roar's College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Fred Cunningham back with you. Mickey Plyler's here. Qualk Baxson's here. Walt Deptula back in the studio. We are talking the college football season. We'll get Mickey back here in a moment. Right now, he's having a fun time taking pictures with a lot of our great crowd here. But let's talk now. We can combine all of this into one segment because you got the Big 12, the Pac. Oh, they're down to two. Pac 2 and then the group of five. So where does anybody want to go? Let me ask you this one. This is, I'll throw my one in there for the Big 12. I think one of the things that's kind of interesting is that we mentioned Scott Frost at one point. He's back at UCF. Rich Rodriguez at Clemson a couple of years, several years ago. He's back at West Virginia. Traditionally, second acts don't usually go that well. Walt, Kansas State, wasn't that an exception with Bill Snyder? He came back and actually had a pretty good second act.
He did, Fred, and of course, you know, he's arguably one of the greatest coaches in the history of the game. I'm not nearly as optimistic about Rich Rodriguez. I think that ship may have sailed, Fred. I'm probably out on that deal.
Let me say, I don't have a clue what to do with the Big 12 because you could throw seven teams in a hat and pull one out, and I could give you a great reason. I could give you a reason like Baylor. Best quarterback running back combination. You got a defensive guy, hot team after last year. TCU, I think they're going to score a boatload of points. They feel really good about their junior-senior classes. You know, you could go to Kansas State. You could go to, you know, even Oklahoma State. They're optimistic about growth. I'm not, but you could find that stuff, you know. Like Utah. Utah goes 5-7 last year. They're freaking pulling Fax and Childress out of the stands to play quarterback. But we're supposed to believe that they're going to be healthy at quarterback this year. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to do. So I'm going with Iowa State for not a lot of good reasons. John Haycock's a brilliant defensive mind. They never have a bad defense there. They have a returning quarterback in Rocco Beck. They have returning skill, not the most returning skill, but they do. I think they get a fairly favorable schedule draw, which when everybody's about the same, I think you're probably okay. And I just know it's not going to be Arizona State because it's literally never the same team twice in the Big 12.
Yeah, the Big 12 is perplexing to say the least. And, I mean, if you need anything to further illustrate that, Arizona State was picked dead last in the preseason media poll last year in the Big 12 and won the league, went to the playoff, won a playoff game, and probably should have won a second playoff game if they would have held on 4th-and-7 against Texas down in Atlanta. Qualk hit the team that I am kind of hyper-fixating on as my winner here, but I also agree wholeheartedly with his assessment that this is impossible to project because you could make a case for 6-8 teams within this league that they could realistically win the league. I'm going to buy the dip with Utah after a 5-7 season, year 21 for Kyle Whittingham. I love their quarterback, Devin Dampier. If you haven't watched him play, I can't blame you for not watching New Mexico football last year, but this guy was a reason to watch. How about 19 rushing touchdowns and 1,200 yards on the ground at quarterback? Wow. Now, he still has a lot of room to grow as a passer, but I think he's difficult to game plan for. And then you look down the roster, and clearly they identified their issues last year on the offensive side of the ball because their top four on their depth chart at running back are transfers, and their top six at wide receiver on the depth chart are transfers. So they hit the portal hard because they had no skill position talent last year, but this is why I'm high on Utah football. I think this is a top three offensive line group in the country. And wow. I think they're going to be able to set the tone and get back to their principles of playing Utah football up front. I think the schedule has some unique breaks that could be advantageous. The final three games are difficult at Baylor, K-State, and at Kansas, but I think there's a realistic chance that this team could be undefeated or 7/8-1 headed into those last three games. And I think they're going to get the juice and the steam. And then to further that point, which of the coaches in the Big 12 actually has experience winning in a conference championship game? Because Kyle Whittingham has the most in the conference out of all those coaches. I'm excited to see what they can accomplish this year. I've always liked Utah football, and I think they're back this year, Fred.
Mickey, when I think of the Big 12, I almost think of watching a NASCAR race at Talladega, and they're in the big pack, and they're just all there together. And, of course, there comes the big one. That's just what this conference seems like. There's going to be the big one, and somebody out of this group is going to win. Somebody has to win it.
I think when I think of that, I think of you interviewing Ricky Bobby in Talladega Nights. Which you still get royalties? You get royalties from that, Fred? Does that still come in checks from there?
I still do, as a matter of fact.
I love it, man. Yes. I love it. Yeah, it's crazy. You can go first to worst and drafting and bump drafting, all that kind of stuff. Good point about Arizona State being picked. Who knows? We mentioned it last year this time. It's the most fun conference out there. It's not the best conference, but it's the most – probably more storylines. I'll tell you this, though. I love Arizona State for about four reasons. Number one, Kenny Dillingham's got a culture there. Number two, I think Leavitt is a moxie, resiliency guy. He's an athletic guy. He makes plays happen. Number three is the wide receiver. Obviously, with Tyson last year, he's one of the best in the country. And I know Scottabo was gone, and, well, what a football player. But they went and got the transfer from Army, who had 1,100 yards last year.
Yep.
So give me coach, quarterback, wide receiver, running back combination. You know, the Cowboys talked about the Super Bowl with Urban, Emmitt Smith, and Aikman. You get those three with Jimmy Johnson. Like, that's a big four-headed monster. I think the culture is better there. I think the defense will be a little bit better. They were decent last year. They had very few weaknesses. I think they get better. I think Dillingham's a rising star in this country.
Yeah, Fred. Well, what do you think of the Big 12?
Yeah, I'm with Mickey completely. I think this is fairly obvious, honestly. I think Arizona State wins this conference with room to spare. I think they're clearly the best team. I think they have the best quarterback. I think Sam Leavitt is a magician, and he's really smart. I think you're going to see an upgrade in his play this year. I think he's the real deal. I think this team is loaded. I think they're well coached in Dillingham. Had they had Jordan Tyson for the Texas game, they would have beaten them. And yeah, they lost Scottabo, but I think they're still fine. And I think Utah is maybe a 7-win team. I don't buy the Utah thing. My problem with Utah is I just think Kyle Whittingham is at the end, and I'm not going to invest my logic in a guy who I think is just playing out the string, and I think that's where Utah is. So I love
it's a one-bid league, though. It's a one-bid league. There's no second place in my opinion.
And I'm down on Iowa State. I think Iowa State will be lucky to make a bowl game. I know Quark hasn't been to playoff, but I just don't see it. They lost their two best receivers in Noel and Higgins. They did bring in Sewell from East Carolina. I don't think that's enough. Rocco Beck actually completed 59% of his throws last year. The reason Iowa State was able to work through an 11-3 season is because of Noel and Higgins. Those two guys were top 100 NFL draft picks. I just do not see – I don't think Iowa State replaced those guys adequately. And so all the games that they won closely a year ago, I think they lose them all this year. I think they're more like a 500 team. And I don't love Campbell. I mean, Campbell can never beat Iowa, not even at home. So I don't know why we think of him as a great coach.
I do agree with Walt on the Iowa State thing. The only pushback I would have to kind of back up my Utah take would be if Whittingham was ready to go, he would go because they have a coach
This is his last year.
But this is his last year. So if this was something that he wanted to do throughout the course of this offseason and he wanted to retire, he would have retired because they already named this coach prior to the offseason. So I don't think he's coming back just, you know, for giggles and fun and rainbows and to blow bubbles. He's coming back to win football games. So I'm excited to see what he can accomplish this year. And I definitely differ from Walt in our opinion on this team. But that's the great thing is we get to play the games, Quark, and that's the beautiful part of this.
7-5 at best.
I'll be honest. I'm not, I hate all these teams. I hate them in a way that if I didn't have to make a prediction here, I would enjoy watching this conference every week. And that's one of the things about this college football season. From a prediction standpoint, it's impossible. From an entertainment value standpoint, we've never seen anything like this. Bud Elliott put a tweet out today. Said there are 35 teams in his model that have a 5% chance or better to make the college football playoff. I guarantee you like a third of those are in the Big 12. Because anybody can win this league. Anybody can do it.
I'm going to go push back on water one thing. Take me home, country roads. Rich Rodriguez, he's got the fever, man. He's got the fever.
And
that place is going to be rocking. They love him.
Is George W. Bush back? Is it George W. Bush's first term? Sorry, man.
Take me home, country roads.
It is. It's a fun place to go to a game, especially if it's Pitt. Okay, we got less than a minute here. Anybody, Pac-2 or Group of Five, jump out at you?
Washington State's going to be terrible, and they're going to lose to Idaho in week one from FCS, and Idaho has the better roster. I'm being dead serious. Washington State will be one of the worst teams in FBS football this year, and Idaho is going to beat them.
I'm praying to the football gods that Army Navy is the G5 college football playoff team.
Oh, I think Navy wins the American.
I need Army Navy the winner to go to the playoffs.
Walt?
I have Navy in my playoff. I think that Blake Horvath. Yes. Oh, I think Blake Horvath is the most underrated player in the country. Horvath, people remember he got hurt last year. He couldn't even take a snap against Notre Dame, and I think people forget that. I mean, but Horvath was unbelievable both as a runner and a thrower before he got hurt. And when I look at Navy's schedule, I don't think anybody but Notre Dame is beating them. I think they'll win at Memphis. I think they go 11-1, and I think they're going to compete against Notre Dame because Notre Dame really couldn't stop Horvath, and he couldn't even take a snap. I mean, he had a 70-yard touchdown run against him. I think when he's back now, I think you're going to get the real Horvath, and I think they'll control the ball enough in that game to keep the game competitive. I think they'll wind up losing 31-21. They go 11-1 and lose at Notre Dame 31-21. I think they're in the playoff.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
The Anderson Area Touchdown Club is celebrating their 44th football season kickoff with Fax and Childress and John Height broadcasting live on Friday, August 22nd from 9 till noon at the Anderson Institute of Technology at 315 Pierman Dairy Road. Faxon and John will be interviewing Anderson County High School football coaches and key players, and you're invited to come experience it in person. And while there, enjoy free Papa John's pizza. Visit the Anderson Area Touchdown Club on Facebook or call 864-616-6471.
Coastal Sports Cards in Simpsonville is the place for collectors. Baseball, football, basketball, soccer, vintage to brand new, sealed boxes, graded gems, and awesome memorabilia. Hit our trade nights, score fresh products every week, and bring your collections. We're buying cards and memorabilia every day. Buy, sell, trade, meet fellow fans who live for the hobby. Coastal Sports Cards, 109A North Main Street in Simpsonville, where collectors come to play.
When you wake up well-rested on a great mattress, everything becomes clear.
I am just like my mother.
Things you missed when you were tired finally reveal themselves.
I should have just said the baby was cute.
It's Mattress Firm's once-a-year sale and clearance. Get up to 70% off a wide selection of top brands, plus a free adjustable base, all with free and fast delivery. Deals this big won't last long, so don't miss out. The right mattress matters. We'll find yours. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
Trust me, if they could do planes and trains, they would. In the meantime, Pendleton Tire Company does automobiles, trucks, and SUVs with trusted service on tires, lift kits, brakes, wheel alignments, and custom accessories for nearly 55 years. Pendleton Tire Company has taken care of generation after generation. Now it's your turn to discover why folks trust the team at Pendleton Tire Company. Open weekdays from 8 to 5, the Pendleton Tire Company on Mechanic Street in Pendleton. PendletonTire.com.
Sending your students to Clemson? Why rent when you can invest? At Sunrise by Empire Homes in Pendleton, just 8 miles from campus, you can own a brand new home starting in the low 400s. Perfect for game day weekends, visits, or future rental income. Build from the ground up and personalize it, or move in now and save up to $25,000 on a completed home. Visit EmpireHomesUpstate.com. That's EmpireHomesUpstate.com. Smart living, smarter investment.
My personal joy is found in working outdoors.
It's where I go for a sense of peace, a sense of tranquility, just to get my head together.
I really, really fell in love with South Carolina's wildlife.
Having a life scholarship through the SC Education Lottery was huge. It gave me the opportunity to do what I love and help make that impact right here at home.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/better you.
We're here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, I want to talk about looking for a career. Upward mobility, retention, and having that employee around for a long time. If someone wants to come to work for Snyder Tree, what would a career look like?
Our goal is 15% growth a year, which gives everyone the opportunity to come into Snyder Tree, find out what they're good at, and move forward. I think that everyone should have the opportunity to grow every day of their life.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
You're listening to the Roars College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Welcome back, everybody. Fred Cunningham along with you. I'm serving as your moderator this evening. Mickey's here. Quonk is here. Faxon's here. Walt is back in the studio. We got a lot to talk about over the next 2 hours. So stick around and listen, or come on down here to Southern Side Brewing, because we've got a big crowd here. We're talk about ACC now. Now, we're not going to really delve too much into Clemson. They are the overwhelming favorite for the conference. But let's talk about the rest of the league. And I want to start with, this is something I put out on the X on the Twitter. I think I've done it every year for the last 10 years. At some point, when Miami has lost an inexplicable early game, I've tweeted or X'd, the U is back. The U is, wait, what? Wait, no, the U is back. Wait, what? What? Oh, never mind. So once again, here's Miami. They're picked by the media to finish second. The U is back?
The U is very good. They're back, question mark? I'm feeling that because, and here's the thing, what you believe about Georgia is what you believe about Miami. If you believe that one of Georgia's main issues last year was Carson Beck's inability to deliver the ball accurately and on time, then you don't have a bullish opinion of Miami. I've said this many times, Georgia lost the most yards in the country last year by drop passes. Carson Beck throws a catchable ball. If you believe that, then you believe that Miami is going to be just fine with Carson Beck. Is he worth $4 million? No. Is he a first-round quarterback? No, but he's good. He's good enough for that roster. Lines of scrimmage, very good. Defensive backfield, eh. And they did lose, like, their top seven receivers from last year. So they are going to be fine at receiver, but not as good as last year. My thing with the ACC as it pertains to Miami is I see three teams that are very close. I see Miami, SMU, and Louisville, and they all play each other. Now, there are two things that can happen. Either somebody's emerging from that scrum like we've talked about with the Big 12, or it sets up a potential slingshot situation. We're just talking a lot of NASCAR here. It's a potential slingshot situation where somebody who doesn't have to deal with any of those teams can jump up there into the number two spot. And so that's sort of what I'm looking at. Miami is clearly the second most talented roster in the league, maybe the most talented. They've done a great job of recruiting, done a great job in the portal, but can they take advantage not just against SMU and Louisville, but against Georgia Tech, against Syracuse, against Pittsburgh and Virginia Tech on the road in November? That's a question I have about Miami.
The U is back in the playoff. This is the year for Coach Cristobal, and, you know, for anybody out in the audience that listens to my show or at home that's listening, you know that this is like the complete opposite of where I usually go with Miami discourse, because I've been hater number one for a decade now. Unfortunately, this is the year for Miami, and I think the pendulum has swung too far on Carson Beck. I went back a couple days ago, and I watched every Georgia football game and every Carson Beck snap from this last season. He had no help, like truly. No run game to rely on, offensive line that was banged up and inconsistent, wide receivers that were dropping passes. The catchable ball thing might be legitimate to a certain degree, right? Because he puts a lot of juice on it. But I don't think he's going to be asked to do anything overly complex in this Miami system, and he was being asked to do just about everything for UGA last year under Bobo. UGA last year was so much different than UGA 2 years ago, where we really saw Beck at his best losing that SEC championship game to Milrow, and then they got out of the playoff by one game, right? So I think Georgia would have won the national championship that year if they would have beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. I tend to think Beck is growing more towards underrated. My only question mark with this team is Cristobaling it up when it matters the most.
I got two questions for you. Number one, is Mario Cristobal still the head coach?
He is, yes.
Number two, does the season end on October 31st?
The season ends on October 31st.
If it ends on October 31st, they'll be good. In November and beyond, he's basically 500 or right below 500. Teams, once it comes down to coaching and figuring it out and scouting and all, they don't win football games games in November and beyond.
It's a concern, but I do think the schedule is so easy this year, and I'm going to say this, and they're going to get to 10-2 and lose to Pitt in the last week of the season, right, and blow it again. But they're so good up front on both sides of the ball, man. I mean, Bain Jr. is one of the best edges in the country. Their D-line is a top-10 unit in the country. The secondary is really, really deep. They're going to have some work to do at linebacker, but they're so good in the trenches on both sides that if this isn't the year against this schedule, paying $4 million for Beck in the Lamborghini, you got two premier backs, you got some receivers that are at least intriguing with the ball in their hands. I don't know when Miami's making the playoff.
There'll be a
they
point in time where
year.
He has so much talent that he can't screw it up.
Yes.
But he has screwed it up almost every year that he's been around Oregon and Miami.
Can I say this real quick? And then, Walt, I'd love to get your thoughts on Miami. Their last two games are cold. Blacksburg on November 22nd.
That's old Miami Dolphins deal, right? AFC November East. 20,
remember the Kenny Pickett game where Pittsburgh's like 6-5? They're 9-5 or 5-6, maybe
because
just trying
it's
to get
in
to
November.
Bowl. It's the day after Thanksgiving. It's going to be 12 degrees with a wind chill of 4 in Pittsburgh. Yep. That is Miami is what the Tampa Bay Bucks used to be to the Green Bay Packers, where you're not winning up there in November or December. You can't do it. That's my concern with Miami, is three road games in the last five. SMU is first, and then these two cold games. Do they have the – it seems weird. A team that's built at the line of scrimmage is not mentally tough enough, but are they mentally tough enough to deal with it?
Well, where are you on the U?
Yeah, Fred, I have Miami in the playoff. I have been relatively high on Cristobal. I think people misread that. Yeah, he had a couple gaffes, so does every coach. But the reason that Miami's program is elevating is because of him. It's because he understands that football is won and lost at the line of scrimmage. Miami was in their storied heyday. They won because of the line of scrimmage. They went 8 years without a defensive lineman drafted in round one. That's all changing under this guy. They're elite on both sides on the line of scrimmage. The offensive line has elite talent. The defensive line has elite talent in Bain and Messidor. Bain was hurt most of last year. That really impacted him. If you go back 2 years ago and watch what Bain did to Clemson, there's one play where he does the Reggie White thing to Blake Miller. He lifts him up with one arm and he throws him 6 feet. I mean, that's Reuben Bain if he's healthy. So, Bain and Messidor, you know, Miami fell apart late last year because of the secondary. That was their weakness to begin with. Then they all got hurt. And so they had nobody left. That's why they went out in the portal and they threw player after player after player after the secondary in the portal. And they've really upgraded that area. So it all comes down to Carson Beck and who and what he is. You know, Fax is not wrong about some of the things that affected Beck. But Beck wasn't good last year. He made some terrible decisions. He was absolutely brutal in the first half of that Texas game. I mean, he actually threw two picks in the last minute of the first half that weren't counted because they called him back because of penalties because he made ridiculous decisions. But, you know, they seem to think he's whole. They seem to think he's looked really good. If Beck plays well, Miami is going to be really something to deal with. I think they're the next best team because they have the talent at the line of scrimmage. They're the one team in the ACC that you can look at their offensive line, their defensive line, say, yeah, this is pretty much the same as Clemson's.
Okay. I want to talk about a school. I'll see if you guys can guess. I can't name a single player on their roster. I don't know anything about their offense or defense, but I know a whole lot about the coach's girlfriend. And I'm not even researching that.
Walt said about Georgia being the team he knows least about. North Carolina. Man, what
who
do you
are
know?
They
the
were first on my list.
Heavy guys.
they were Mickey.
Yeah, like, no clue.
Yeah, I had North Carolina first on my most interesting list.
Yeah, I mean,
you know who's interested in North Carolina? Everyone that works there. I'm dead serious. Facts, take it back this up. We're at ACC kickoff. And Faxon's running the sticks, as per usual. He's playing video games and winning for all the non-kids out there. So he's running the sticks, and he's winning like five in a row. And he's Georgia Tech with Aaron Filo at quarterback, which is a better version, as we know. And he's facing North Carolina. And some North Carolina staffers, I'm not even kidding, they walk up like these, I don't know, SID or whatever, and they're like, oh, he's got, they got such and such wearing that number. Oh, that's interesting.
And we're like, yeah, no one knows the numbers. Yeah. Like, we don't know what numbers they are. You didn't put numbers on your practice jersey. Why do we know nothing about North Carolina? Because they're not trying to tell us anything.
And then to piggyback on that, Belichick never even came downstairs to Radio Row at
first
ACC
time it's
kickoff.
Ever happened.
It's the first time it's ever happened. Wow. They completely just blitzcreamed all protocols and were just like, we're not doing any of this. They didn't tell anybody what players they were bringing, so we had no idea who they were bringing until they showed up. Then they had a very limited window of availability, and they were out of the building within like an hour and a half total. It was the weirdest thing I've ever witnessed.
We're on the TCU.
We're on the TCU.
This is a football program that seems like they're in the witness protection program.
Oh, yeah. It really is.
But that's who Belichick is. I mean, that's who he was with the Patriots. You know, he's not going to give he's not going to give you anything. He's not going to – I mean, those press conferences that he had when he was coaching the Patriots were always hysterical to me. Media hated it, but I thought it was hysterical.
We're going to talk a lot more about the ACC and much more as our college football kickoff show continues. We are live in Greenville at Southernside Brewing Company. We'll be right back.
Sweet summertime is coming to an end, and all parents know what that means. Back to school preparations. You have the school supplies, new backpack and clothes, but what's the one thing your son needs? A fresh new haircut that will start off his school year right. No matter what age, feeling good about yourself is always in style. Let him be his best self this school year and call Roosters for your appointment today at 884-8920.
Hey Clemson fans, this summer turn up the style and turn down the heat at Tiger Sports Shop. Whether you're chasing the sun or staying in the shade, we've got lightweight looks from Nike and Lululemon to keep you cool. Don't miss out on our sizzling summer shavings. It's the coolest way to celebrate your Clemson pride. Football season is coming fast, so get your gear and be ready to cheer. Shop local at our two Clemson locations, Tiger Boulevard and College Avenue, or order anytime at tigersports.com, where summer style meets Tiger spirit.
We know America is in a health crisis, but when we say that, it can feel distant. It feels big. It feels impersonal. In reality, being overweight, it is personal. It's happening to people all around us, and the effects are numerous among people that we care about. Well, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss are changing the narrative surrounding getting weight gain under control. They're not prioritizing shots or pills or popular drugs. They are prioritizing lasting solutions, learning how to eat, learning how to think about food. They are doing the hard work so that you can turn your body into a fat-burning machine using real food, behavioral coaching, and proven science. And these are habits that will last a lifetime. Literally, you could do them forever. Call today. Set up a consultation. You'll be glad you did that. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
You're listening to the Roars College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southernside Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Back on our college football kickoff show, it's time for the main event. This is like Ali Frazier won. This is the big deal because joining us live on the phone from Clemson is the head coach of the Tigers, Dabo Swinney. Thanks for being with us, Coach.
Well, that's the first to ever. That's the first to ever have Dabo and Ali in the same sentence. But I'll take it.
Well, he did. He came up with "float like a butterfly, spin like a bee." You came up with "BOG," so that works out good for you. Hey,
yeah,
hey Coach Mickey Plowler here. Coach, we got a room full of orange here down downtown Greenville. And anything you want to say to the fans getting ready for a huge football game coming up here in a couple of weeks or a week or so?
Yeah, if you got a room full of orange, let's make sure we got a stadium full of orange next Saturday night. Let's everybody, I love the purple, but let's all wear the orange. Let's fill that thing up with some orange next Saturday night. I know Tiger Nation's going to show up. I ain't worried about that at all. But yeah. Let's show up in that orange so they don't mistake it for anybody else, just in case.
Coach, one of the things we always talk about, and one of the cliches, and I want to let you, maybe it's not true, but we don't talk about the head coach kind of coaches your assistants. When you have Brent Venables or Dan Brooks, that experience on that side of football, I didn't see you over there in defensive huddles. Now you've got Matt Luke, and you've got Tom Allen, you got Chris Rump. What is it like coaching with younger coaches, inexperienced coaches at some positions, compared to the times you've had it where you've had a lot of experience on that coaching staff?
Well, if I do my job, I shouldn't have to coach him much, outside of the building. I mean, I coach the coaches every day, and all year. You know, that's a huge part of what I do, to keep everybody, you know, on the same page and pulling in the same direction and, you know, just philosophy, everything. And then, you know, hey, when we get out and get on the field, that's time to execute. And, you know, so my job then is to make sure that we execute properly and support them, but also have accountability. That's what, you know, I think any coach does.
Coach Qualk here, appreciate you giving us opportunity. Appreciate you being with us. That's awesome. Want to ask you about Tom Allen, because he's got quite a stiff first test with LSU and that skill on the outside. I mean, as a first-time defensive coordinator, putting that game plan in his hands, what can you say about the progress that unit has made and the things that we're going to see on the field that you guys are cooking up for us in about a week and a half?
Well, I mean, I think you'll see a better defense. You won't see the best version of us. We're going to get better as the season goes. I mean, that's just a fact. You know, but I think that we'll see a defense that is playing with their hair on fire, that's playing with relentless effort, that's truly committed to, you know, doing what it takes to win. I mean, we're going to be a detailed defense. And, again, I think Tom's done an amazing job. He set the tone. And, yeah, it's a tough opener. But, I mean, listen, he's been in his first rodeo. I mean, this is and it's not just him. We got a great staff around him. And all those guys, you know, collaborate and work really hard, and they're all on the same page, and everybody's got to do their part. But I'm excited to watch them play. They've got as good a wideout as there is in the country. They've got a big-time NFL quarterback that's coming in here. They've gone out and they lost some guys in the line, but they went and kind of plug and playing some guys. They've really filled those holes well. So it's a really, really good football team. And a really good offense that'll be a big challenge for those guys out of the gate. So there'll be some good, there'll be some bad, but I think when it's all said and done, this is a defense that's going to have a great year.
Sticking on the defensive side, you were very upfront last year saying, hey, these guys have had a lot of things written about them, said about them, they hadn't heard anything yet. You've said the same thing this year. In fact, you said about your defensive line, I think it was a question that was kind of buttering them up a little bit. You said, well, the last time I saw those guys, they were getting steamrolled by Texas, and you went through the whole thing. But, you know, when Wade Woodhaz says he wants to rip the wallpaper down and put his own face up there, it seems like the player leadership is in a good spot. How would you compare, particularly on the defensive side, the leadership of those players that have grown up now into third and fourth year guys, how is that – helped your defense mature during the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, there is a high level of accountability, and, you know, there's levels of that. I mean, level one accountability is you the coach holds you accountable. Level two, you hold yourself accountable. But level three is when, you know, you hold each other accountable. And, you know, so this team has done a good job of that. And I think that is a big part of, you know, the success of any great team is, you know, what, from a leadership standpoint, what are you doing when nobody's watching, and how do you hold each other accountable? That's always a big part of becoming a great team. And these guys have demonstrated that. They got a long season ahead of them, and, you know, all the talking and all the predictions and, you know, all that stuff, none of that stuff matters. I mean, what matters is how you go and perform. And, you know, and then you count them all up at the end of the year and you go from there. But, you know, I like their mentality. I love the fact that Wade's got that mentality, but go earn it, you know. And so, hey, you got an opportunity. There's only one team, 130. This will be the only one in the history of Clemson. And, you know, now's their opportunity. And, you know, in order to really, you know, be great in the moments that come along the way, you've got to commit to the preparation that it takes. And, you know, they put the work in to this point. They've been a committed team from a prep standpoint, but that carries over, you know, one day at a time all throughout the season. And so, you know, we'll see. They're gonna have their opportunity. And of course, right out of the gate, we all know this is a preseason top 10 matchup, and it's only the third time in 130 years that we've had a home opener, you know, top 10 matchup. So
what an awesome opportunity, certainly out of the gate for both teams, but especially for us here at home with our fans. And so we're looking forward to the challenge.
Coach, last year SMU, Rashad Smith made the transition wide receiver to running back, 1,300 yards and 14 touchdowns. You're doing it. It's rare to see it. What challenges does Adam Randall have? How's he doing? And what are your expectations for the move from wide receiver to running back?
I expect him to be a great player. You know, that's what he's demonstrated in practice against a really good defense, and I expect that to go to game day. I mean, this kid's played a lot of football. He's not a freshman. I mean, most of his life he was a running back and a quarterback. So he's got more experience at that than Waddle. So I expect him to go be a great player. That's simple as that. He's done the work. He's one of the best leaders we've had. He's highly respected. He's been outstanding on the practice field, but again, none of that matters for anything. So just got to go and stack some games, stack some days, and that's my expectation that he'll do that.
Just following up on Randall for a second, you've had a couple injuries in that room. You got Jay coming back from the ACL. I'm curious, what does the workload look like? Like, what's your ideal look like for a guy like Randall? Is it more by committee while everybody gets their feet wet, or are you just throwing him in the fire going, hey, buddy, we need you to run between the tackles and get some stuff done here tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he's 237 pounds. He can't run between the tackles. We got a problem. I mean, he's an every down back. I mean, he's an every down back, and we expect him to go be a complete player. I mean, that's just, you know, I know everybody's got a lot of questions, but, you know, we got to go play. Hopefully, as we go through the season, we'll answer all those questions. I love our backs. I mean, you know, Jay's not quite there yet, but we think a lot of him. But, you know, Eazy-E has had an awesome camp. Gid, man, he's really, especially the last few days, you can really see as we start game planning, you can see, you know, he's really, you know, playing faster and really understanding what we're doing. And then, you know, Keith Adams is another veteran presence in that room. So, I mean, we got those four guys, and we'll go to battle with them. But, you know, it starts with Adam. I mean, he's the starter. He's earned that. And, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Coach, you open up these seasons with big games. Tell me about the experience level. Cade coming back, Garrett Riley in the system for so many years now, all those offensive linemen. Obviously, it's a tough game, but give me an idea of how it's different having an experienced quarterback, a guy who's been a coordinator for a few years, and all those experienced guys up front. Any different in preparation when you got that kind of experience?
I mean, it's just, you know, anytime you have a veteran, confident quarterback, I mean, it definitely makes a difference, for sure, because he has a clear vision in his head of what it smells like, what it feels like, you know, and that's you can't quantify that. So that's always a plus. And we've won with freshmen, we've won with, you know, first year guys. I mean, we've seen it all, but when you got a guy in a game like this out of the gate that played a lot of football and has had some success and failure and has kind of seasoned through that, you definitely can you know, do more than what you might normally be able to do in an opener like this. So you know, as long as number two is on the field, we got a great shot. And listen, CV, man, I'm proud of him. He's made another great jump for us this fall camp, and we like our quarterback room. But you know, Cade is you know, really a fun player to watch. He's a fun player to watch practice. I mean, this guy loves to practice. He loves to prepare. He absolutely loves it. And so that makes it fun. You know, it's a lot of fun. And it's great to be at home. It's first time, you know, this decade that we've opened up at home, all the way back since 19. So it's good to be in the Valley, be exciting for our fans, exciting for our team, and great opportunity for us.
I know that Walker Park's injury may have stopped this process a little bit. You talked about having seven guys that were starter quality on the offensive line when you started camp, and you wanted to have 10 by the end. Where are you on that journey? Who are the guys that have popped as you look for those final two or three guys to kind of make up that two deep that really is going to be the envy of most every program in the country this year?
Yeah, I mean, we've really come out of camp in a good spot. I mean, Braden Jacobs, you know, he's a guy that and I'm really proud of where he is. Easton Ware's another guy. Man, those are going to be two really good players here for a long time. And then, you know, I'd say, you know, you're looking at Dietrich Pennington, getting him back. Gavin Blanchard is a guy that has kind of gotten in the mix. Mason Wade, Ian Reed was doing well, got banged up, so hopefully we'll get him back. I mean, we've come out of it with a nice group of guys, but as far as, you know, we got seven guys truly that could go start for us and wouldn't blink an eye. Nobody would lose any sleep with those seven guys. And now Braden is kind of that eighth, and you know, Easton and Dietrich and Wade and Blanchard, those are the guys that have kind of separated a little bit to this point. So we've got a good group of guys. Chad Pendergrass is another guy that doesn't get talked about much, but we really trust him. So we've come out of it with some depth, and if we can stay healthy, I think it'll be a really good group as we go through the season.
Coach, when we had time to go out to practice on those 3 days, we heard Tom Allen over and over on the microphone, best tackling team in America. You mentioned about tackling at Texas and your disappointment there. Have you seen progress? I know it's hard with days in pads and trying to keep teams fresh, but talk about the tackling and maybe some progress there.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, the maximum amount of live reps that we are allowed during camp, so it's been noticeable. I mean, we've had a few, but not near as many glaring missed tackles. And so I expect that to carry over. I mean, it's been a really good just progression since the spring and how he's teaching it and how he practices that as well. But he just demands it every day, and the guys have bought into it. And then there's, you know, immediate accountability if they don't do something right. So I've been really pleased with how he's done it. And again, we won't make every tackle, but I think we'll be a much better tackling team when it's all said and done.
You've had talented two deeps at receiver a lot. You've had talented three deeps at receiver a lot. But I was trying to think, has there been a Dabo Swinney wide receiver room that's had this much talent that's also been proven, particularly what Tristan Smith brings from the FCS ranks? I mean, it's got to be awesome to have. You've talked about the six guys, but you don't have to worry about, is a freshman going to do it when the lights get bright? I mean, that's got to be a great luxury for you as a coach and you as an offensive staff to know what you're getting when the lights turn on against LSU from that group.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is a really deep group, you know, especially those first six. And we've got a 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, guys that we trust. But, you know, those six guys really give us the ability to hopefully play really fast and wear people down because they can all really impact the game. They've all made big-time plays in camp. They complement each other well. They all have, you know, similarities, but they all have some different attributes to go along with it. So it's a good group, and it's definitely been a while since we've had this deep of an experienced group that I think can take the top off and also, you know, run with the ball after the catch and make some of those explosive plays, breaking tackles and things like that.
Coach, a question I get asked in the morning, maybe as much as any other position, and I might be the only school in the country that does this because of all the veterans you have coming back. I get asked about punter. I know you got a lot of competition there. What's the latest? What do you expect to see at punter?
Yeah, stay tuned. You know, we've got, again, as I said, we've got three guys that can do it. Hopefully we don't punt at all. That'd be great. I've only had one of those games. We didn't punt at all in the first ACC championship game in 09, my first year, but you know, hopefully we don't have to punt much, but when we do, you know, I believe that whoever we run out there is going to be able to get the job done. And so all three have competed. Obviously, we'll make a decision on that, but, you know, might be a game-time decision all the way through pregame. We'll see.
You know, it's interesting. With Khalil Barnes being out, it's allowed you to kind of see some of those other guys at safety. You've been very high publicly about those guys. I'm curious, the new set of eyes, Tom Allen, the way he talks about safeties, I know he's a linebackers coach to some degree, but, man, he gets fired up talking about safeties. What can you tell us about that room, and how has a fresh set of eyes of Tom Allen maybe unlocked some things with some of those guys that you've been waiting to break out?
Well, it's been good, too. Just, you know, Tom's coach is everything. I mean, he's the linebacker coach by trade, but he's, you know, with Ben and Thomas running that room, Tom is coaching everybody every day. And he really likes our group. I mean, as I do, I mean, I think we've recruited some really good players there. Ricardo has had an excellent camp. I'm really proud of him. You know, he was a kid that I just thought he had a lot of immaturity last year. I mean, he's just an immature player, and he's really grown up and become more disciplined, more committed, and it's shown. I mean, he's really been about his business. The year, the transition with Ronan and having the spring and the summer, I mean, he just looks different. I mean, he's gonna help our football team. Kylan Griffin's played some really good football. He continues to, you know, just be kind of steady Eddie for us. And then, you know, Khalil certainly is the guy, and Khalil's back rolling, and you know, be ready to go. So it's good to, but with him missing some time, it was really good to really force the issue with some of those guys, and they've all stepped up. I mean, Robert Billings and Carion. I mean, he's the kid that kind of has shown, you know, what we saw on tape, and he's a really smart young player. He's right there in the mix. I mean, Joe Wilkinson's gotten better. The whole room has gotten better. But we've been able to create some depth, and that's going to serve us well. Hopefully we play a long season, but we're coming out of it, you know, in a better spot than we were this time last year with those guys.
All right, Coach, shoot this down, all right?
What is it?
Now, bigger corner. Attacking the perimeter pass game a little bit. Seems to me with safeties, smaller, more cover guys, it seemed like, man, we put so much pressure on safeties, leverage those guys, the nickel guys in the box. We ask them to do so much. Am I right in thinking that safety in college football in 2025 might be the toughest we've ever seen that position and ask them to do as many things they do? And the RPO game and confusing those guys, seem like the safety position is a very difficult job right now.
Yeah, I didn't hear the first part, but absolutely. I mean, the safety position is really, really hard to play, and because you're involved in everything. I mean, it's like, you know, tight end in the offense. I mean, you're a big part of the pass game. You're a huge part of the run fit. You get involved in the pressures. It's just a lot. You all these formations and movements and the things that can really challenge you from an eye standpoint, and then the physicality, but certainly the coverage too. You know, that's why everybody's looking for those elite safeties that can do a lot of things. I mean, like, that's what makes Khalil Barnes so special. I mean, he can play, you know, our tiger position. He can play free. He can play strong. And for a guy to be able to do that, you know, that's unique. Because physically he can do it, but mentally to be able to really lock in and go play any position and have that type of understanding, it's a lot. So definitely a position, a premium position, a position that I really believe we've recruited well, and I think we've got more on the way that are going to fit the bill for us too.
I want to squeeze in one more about tight end. I was trying to think back, and I think it's been maybe since the Jordan Leggett, Stanton Sekinger, Garrett Williams, like that era, since you've had a tight end room with this many guys that can just go and play 60 snaps in a game, it feels like. What have you learned about that tight end group, especially with the challenge coming up of trying to attack LSU?
I don't really care who's in the game. That's what I've learned. I think they can all play. I mean, and you know, Benton Coors is a guy that's new to the room, but I mean, he's a special talent, and he's, I mean, Olsen has made plays, Sapp has made plays. I trust those guys with everything. I mean, I really believe in that group, and you know, I didn't even mention Logan Brooking. Logan Brooking, he's as talented as any of those guys. I mean, he's probably, I mean, as an elite of a route runner as we've had at the position. I mean, this kid is explosive. We'll see what happens with him. Hopefully, if he's not in that top three, we'll probably try to hold him like we did with Benny last year. There's only so many reps to go around, but we love that tight end room, and it's exciting, you know. And I think those guys can all play. And again, I really it, it doesn't I could care less. I mean, I don't even pay attention. They can sell them how they want, because I really believe in all those guys.
Coach Dabo Swinney, we are 9 days away. It's going to be an electric night in the Valley. That's capital T-H-V-E, the Valley. We thank you for being with us. Best of luck to the Tigers throughout this 2025 season. Thanks for being with us.
I appreciate it. Appreciate all y'all do, and hope it's a great night. And, man, shout out to all of our amazing fans there. Hey, let's get the Valley rocking. And, man, it's going to be a special night. Look forward to seeing everybody. Go Tigers.
Thank you, Coach.
Coach Dabo Swinney.
Thanks, Coach.
We are live at Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Our college football kickoff show continues in just a few minutes.
The Anderson Area Touchdown Club is celebrating their 44th football season kickoff with Faxon Childress and John Height broadcasting live on Friday, August 22nd from 9 till noon at the Anderson Institute of Technology at 315 Pierman Dairy Road. Faxon and John will be interviewing Anderson County High School football coaches and key players, and you're invited to come experience it in person and while there enjoy free Papa John's pizza. Visit the Anderson Area Touchdown Club on Facebook or call 864-616-6471.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersLeap.com.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com/POWER. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Poor indoor air quality can significantly decrease your quality of life through experiencing sinus infections, allergies, respiratory issues, and headaches. An easy-to-install device called UV Photomax uses purifying blue light to zap bacteria, mold, and viruses before they enter your home's air vents. Purify the air your family breathes and help protect them from mold, bacteria, and viruses with the UV Photomax from SDC Heating and Air. Serving Oconee, Pickens, Greenville, and surrounding areas. Visit ESTESHeatingAir.com today for more information.
The way golf was meant to be, a natural, beautiful trip through nature. You'll discover it at Chickasaw Point in Westminster, South Carolina, in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. Dine in the Overlook Restaurant, open Thursday through Sunday, ChickasawPointGolf.com.
It's time to discover the convenience and time savings of contact-free pickup with Ingles Curbside. Just visit shop.ingles-markets.com or download the app. and your Ingles personal shopper gets to work with specialized training on how to select the freshest items for a pre-scheduled pickup. They'll even text you with updates. You pull up to a designated space, and your personal shopper delivers your items right to your vehicle. Fresh, fast, and affordable. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
You're listening to the Roars College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Fred Cunningham back with you as our College Football Kickoff Show continues. Mickey's here, Kwok is here, Faxon's here, Walt's back in the studio. We want to check in with Faxon and Walt, talk a little bit about Clemson. We just heard a pretty good long session hearing from Dabo Swinney. Walt, what were some of your thoughts about what Coach said and the Tigers for this season?
Yeah, Fred, I've thought since February 1st that Clemson was one of the two best teams in the country. I think they have more answers, fewer questions. You know, not evaluating them in a vacuum, but evaluating them in comparison to everybody else. I just think they have a lot of answers. Now, there are some questions. I mean, there are some depth concerns in certain spots. I mean, I don't 100% trust the defensive end spot. If Held goes down, I want to see what Lawson gives you. I mean, last year, defensive end was a nightmare. You know, you had one side of the field that just got washed away constantly. I think that's still a bit of an issue depth-wise. I think linebacker is still a bit of an issue depth-wise. Cornerback might still be a bit of an issue depth-wise. You know, health is a big part of this. I mean, we can project all we want, but the one element that we can't predict or project is health. And every champion needs to be lucky, and Clemson will need some luck. They can't sustain injuries in those particular areas. But I think it's a really good football team. I think the running back room, you know, Mickey asked several questions about the running back room, and Kwok followed up on it. You know, I mentioned this earlier today on my show. I think the running back room is going to be way better than it was last year. And I've thought this for a long period of time. Not because you have better players necessarily, but, I mean, your star running back last year in Maffa played at least half the year banged up. And the second half of the year, he wasn't effective at all. So you basically had no running game. Now you have three healthy, talented backs. I mean, yeah, we need to see him play. But, I mean, you know, Dabo Swinney has been basically glowing about all these guys. You know, EZE, he called him a more explosive Wayne Gallman. I mean, if your second-string running back is a more explosive Wayne Gallman, then that's pretty good. And, you know, Dabo keeps talking about Randall at 237. He's got long speed. He ran a 10.8 800 meter in college. And Gideon Davidson, I think, is a freak. I think he's the next great Clemson back. So there are at least three guys there that have real ability. Because we haven't seen it yet doesn't mean it isn't real. And, you know, this passing game is going to cause everybody problems. I mean, I actually think this is going to be one of the top five offenses in Clemson football history. I think this offense is elite. I don't think they really have any areas of concern. I think they should be good right from the start.
I had a guy tell me the other day, I thought it was interesting, Izumome reminds him of every running back at Auburn ever. Maybe the number, whatever, yeah. Maybe the name or something. Like, he just looks like an Auburn running back, right?
Wasn't Auburn second in his recruitment? I mean, that might be what could've they been. Thought. Yeah, everybody you've seen last 50 years looks like this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I thought Coach Swinney made a lot of great comments. The first thing I'll check off the list is calling Christian Bentenker a special talent. That's a player that I've invested a ridiculous amount of stock in. I think he's going to be the best Clemson football tight end ever when it's all said and done. And he's a guy that's a willing blocker as well. And that's the transcendent thing about this Clemson tight end group in comparison to last year, where a lot of people may think Jake Brenningstuhl was providing value, bringing a strength in the receptions game, which he was at times. Not blocking was hindering this team's ability to run the football last year. And it was hindering this team's ability to run 12 personnel at times. Well, now you have willing blockers, you have talented players, you have physical freak specimens like Bentenker, who comes in at 6'4". All-state caliber basketball player in the state of Illinois as well. He's got soft hands. He's got a ridiculous vertical, and he is the most talented tight end I've ever seen come through Clemson. I think he's going to be a superstar. The depth of this room and the depth of the wide receiver room may hinder that production a little bit this year, but we're going to get 2-3 years in the future, and Bentenker is going to be a feature-type player in this offense. And then to kind of, you know, expand on what Walt said at running back, I think that we're going to get to the end of the year, and this is going to be described as a strength of Clemson's team. I wholeheartedly agree with Walt, and I think Adam Randall might just go for
1,300 rushing yards this season. I think he's going to be that good and that productive, and I think the maximum value he's going to provide is short yardage situations, which is something Clemson has struggled with mightily over the course of the last 5 years. They should have just snuck the ball last year in Austin, Texas, if we're all being honest with ourselves. But you can protect Cade a little bit because you don't want to risk him getting hurt on a sneak by giving it to that 6'4", 240 running back in Adam Randall, and I'm looking forward to seeing him play because I think he's going to have a monster year.
I'm wondering if this is the time. What do you call it on your show? A nerd alert? Because Kwok,
for sure,
Kwok is frantically going through college football stats right now, and I think he's loaded up something.
Brought to you by Grass Nerds.
What do we got? What do we got here?
So this is the first eight games.
I wrote
this down earlier. I was flipping through my notes while you were talking.
So the iPad's not enough.
Oh, yeah.
The iPad's not enough.
We got iPad notebook combination. Oh,
that's
yeah.
Unbelievable.
So in my notes, I have written down that in the first eight games against FBS competition last year, Clemson averaged 198.67 yards on the ground, which extrapolated over a full season, Fred, would be 23rd in the country. In Clemson's last four games against FBS competition, that was Pittsburgh, South Carolina, and then the ACC championship and the Texas game, 84.25 rushing yards a game as a team, that would have been third worst in the country. Ooh. I don't think people realize how badly Clemson fell off a cliff statistically, and even in the Texas game. Think about what we've said about Clemson's passing game. I know they were way behind. I know they had to chuck it every down. Adam Randall gets a 40-yard run, and it's like 90% of your rushing production in the game. I don't think people understand how productive Clemson was in the air when every single person watching, playing, everyone involved knew they had to throw it, and if you had a one-man box, they couldn't run it on you. I think people will be surprised, and one of the things that I'm most bullish about, one of the pieces of rat poison that I'm willing to gorge myself with in the last few weeks as we get ready for the season is that with a run game that is literally just breathing, this passing game is going to come alive because it was already alive against SMU and it was already alive against Texas and it was alive to an extent against South Carolina in that game with Phil Maffa, as Walt said. I mean, I made the Monty Python, 'tis only a flesh wound. Phil Maffa's just chopping off limbs. He can't run or walk. I mean, the guy had no working limbs by the end of the year. God bless him. He was trying his best. But I think people are underestimating how much better Clemson's passing game is actually going to look, even than we think, because of how completely absent Clemson's run game was the last month of the year.
When Kwok gets going, I always have to remind myself it's Thursday night and it's not Sunday.
Yeah.
That was good. That was good.
That is true. And to kind of further Kwok's point, and he's 100% on the money, Cade was playing hero ball those last four games. Pitt, even Texas, that's one of the most impressive displays of quarterback play I've seen for Clemson in ages. But it's the too high shell and the utilization of the too high shell, which has kind of revamped what defenses look like in both the NFL and college football. And teams were just sitting in too high against Clemson last year because guess what? They didn't respect that run game. And they knew Phil Maffa wasn't healthy. And they knew Clemson wasn't going to be able to win consistently in the trenches with a back that could run between the tackles. So what you're going to see this year is if Randall gets going early in games and if Eazy-E gets going early in games and Gideon Davidson, just try having to come down some cover one looks, some cover three, and that's where you can take beaters for explosive plays and try and take your shots over the top. I think Clemson's offense is going to be even more explosive this year just by having a pulse, as Kwok alluded to, in the run game. That's going to eliminate the ability to play too high every single down against Clemson. And if you go back and watch the Texas tape, they're just sitting in too high because they know Clemson's not going to run the ball.
The other thing is,
you need more time to do your
math. Mickey's on a nerd alert over there. He's looking up stats.
It's interesting that Maffa, with all the experience and 1,100 yards last year and 8 touchdowns rushing, that the room is better this year because of the depth that they have got there. And there's more, and depth at running back is a very big deal because they get banged up, and we saw it with the guys falling apart everywhere, it seems.
Yeah. Walt?
The other thing about Randall is, you know, look, Randall may not have been a great receiver. I think he had trouble tracking vertical throws in the air, but as a running back, he is going to be an elite running back receiver. That's a completely different thing. You know, he may not have been a great receiver as a receiver, but as a running back, he should be. And that should allow Clemson to do some interesting things with him schematically.
It's been an odd off season if you're following Clemson and hearing what I always like to call the college football gatekeeping media, because for the last 8 months, they've been saying really nice things about Clemson. And I think at this point, with three new members of the team versus coming out of the transfer portal, I think we need to take a moment of silence to pay homage to the ESPN college football graphic that they've used for the last 2 years of Dabo, like the bouncer, the doorman on Studio 54.
Somebody worked hard on that, Fred.
Somebody worked hard on that. It served its purpose so well, because now we know that if you have three transfers, the game has not passed you by. Which I've never understood, but that seems to be the number.
I was doing a show in Baton Rouge today on their radio down there, and they asked about that. And one of the things I said was, no one ever talked about the retention rate here. Like, Clemson doesn't lose starters because of that culture, and that's a big advantage of it. But you know, it was the Wall Street Journal had an article the other day. College football left Clemson behind, so Clemson just reinvented college football. Now again, you got to win. He's got to win again post transfer. National championship after that. If he does that, we can say, no, they said revolutionize college football. He's got to win big again to do that. But I think a lot of coaches would love to have that kind of stability.
I have a couple things on this. Mickey, we were together in 2011, so I've been doing this 15 years now. I don't remember a time when it was remotely close to this paradigm with regarding offseason coverage. National media fawning over Clemson, loving Clemson. Local media, million questions.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened, but that I feel like we encounter that every single day.
Yeah.
The other thing.
That's a very interesting point.
Freaky Friday.
To your point about it is Freaky Friday. By the way, they're bringing that back too.
I saw that.
On the portal, I said this a few weeks ago, and it still confounds me, that Clemson literally got one starter from the portal at a position right now that Dabo is saying he has two starters.
Yeah,
he didn't even get beat out. I mean, honest to God, the media thinks that Dabo has cracked the code because he brought in one starter. Think about if they didn't have Tristan Smith. Would we think that Clemson's receiving core has fallen apart? If they didn't have Jeremiah Alexander, would we think that Clemson's linebacking core has fallen apart? If they didn't have Will Helt, and you're saying what they're saying about Jaheim Lawson, we'd have been mad about it for months, but you wouldn't think that Clemson doesn't have an answer defensive end. I think it is absolutely ludicrous that Clemson brought in one starter from the transfer portal, and people have lost their mind. They're like, yeah, Dabo's all in the portal now, and Clemson's back.
I'm going to show you how we simplify the big picture. Can I tell one quick story about Kwakta?
Yeah.
To show you, he mentioned we were together in 2011, right? He's been doing it 15 years, right? Yeah. Who would have thought this? The other day, my wife comes home and says, we got it all mixed up. Our daughter's backpack was Kwak's daughter's backpack. We leave with different backpacks. They got to find each other because we got milk and we got stuff. Who would have thought that the diapers and all, we'd have the same backpack?
Literally the same backpack.
15 years later.
No markings.
No. Freaky same Friday backpack. Right off the bat. Freaky
Unbelievable.
Friday.
We're going to get more to Clemson in a minute. I want to close out the hour talking a little bit more about the ACC. First of all, looking at the media poll, there needs to be an investigation. Virginia Tech is picked to finish 11th. They got a first-place vote.
Oh, that was not me.
That was a Blacksburg.
Faxon tried to hit Wake Forest.
That was
Faxon tried to hit Wake Forest, and he missed and hit Virginia Tech. That was what happened.
I will say this. Wake Forest at 16 is the most ludicrous thing I've ever seen in my life, and we'll get to that at some point today. And
please expand now.
This is the most ludicrous, and I'm hoping Walt's with me on this.
I'm out of the blast radius on this one.
I thought Walt put something out on Twitter the other day. This was like the primary win total I played for the season. All right, let me run you through the schedule real quick for Wake Forest. Jake Dickert's the Washington State coach. He brings half the team with him to Wake Forest. Kennesaw State, Western Carolina, NC State, Georgia Tech, all at home. At VT, at Oregon State, SMU, at FSU, at UVA, UNC, Delaware, and at Duke. The win total is 4.5, and they play Kennesaw State, Western Carolina, and Delaware, which means to get to 5, you have to win 2 out of the remaining 9 games. This roster is a middle-of-the-pack ACC roster, in my opinion, and I think they might have the most underrated defense in the entire country. I don't think people realize that this team's going to be competent this year, and Dickert knows how to coach his tail off. I really don't get the line. I don't get where the media is at on this. Kwak is standing 15 feet to the right, and Mickey's 15 feet to the left, and I don't care. Wake Forest won in 7 games this year.
Robbie Ashford couldn't do it at Oregon. He couldn't do it at Auburn. He couldn't do it at South Carolina. He won't do it at Wake Forest.
It doesn't have to be him. They've got DeSean Purdy from Charlotte as well, and I think Ashford...
But it is him, though.
I think Ashford...
It is.
I think Ashford has gotten a little bit overhated because he hasn't looked good. Again, you have to think about the level of competition he's going to play in comparison to his previous destinations. They have a cupcake ACC schedule. You're acting like he's playing in the SEC. Their first ACC game is NC State at home. They're winning that game. I'll just tell you right now, they're winning that game.
There's a lot of Wolfpack fans here.
I wouldn't say that.
I would compare him to Treon Harris at Florida many years ago. I'm convinced that he's left-handed, but they make him throw right-handed in games. Why, I don't know.
Walt, I got about 60 seconds. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and turn both missile keys so you can fire.
Well, you know, Fred, I think that I think they're going to try and use Ashford in a similar way to they used Mateer. Now, the thing is, he's not Mateer. Yes. Now, he is a great athlete, though. You know, and so you're going to see some quarterback counter and some quarterback run game. And if they can turn him loose in the run game, that's going to help their case. I do agree with Faxon that the schedule is cozy. I think the schedule is very cozy because originally I was sort of down on Wake. But the more I looked at the schedule, I elevated them a little bit. But, you know, I don't know. I'm not quite as on board as Faxon is, but I think they're probably going to be a little better than people think, somewhere in that range.
They're going to be better than Cal and Stanford. I know that. Cal's terrible. Do we know Cal is terrible?
Terrible.
Like, Cal's win total is 5.5. They're not even close.
I love looking at the schedules of those two football teams. The 3,000 miles east, 3,000 miles west, back and forth. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
I love where Cal's former quarterback is playing now, but that maybe is something we'll
get to. Yeah, baby. Yes.
We might get to that in our next hour very quickly. I'm going to be shocked if I hear otherwise. Let's go down the line. ACC champion is
Clemson.
It's Clemson.
Clemson in a two-bid league, though. Two-bid league.
I think it's going to be a three-bid
league. Three-bid league?
Three-bid. I think it's a three-bid league.
Walt?
Oh. Yeah, Clemson in a two-bid league. I'd be shocked if the ACC got three teams.
And coming back the other way, Clemson defeats blank in the title game.
Ramblin' Wreck with Georgia Tech. Ooh. When you say Budweiser, you said it all.
The Ramblin' Wreck from Georgia Tech. Mickey stole my thunder.
Are you freaking serious? Both of y'all?
It's the year for Brent Key. It's the year.
Louisville.
I love Louisville too. Louisville's got 20 or 22 starters are seniors in college football world. That's hard to do.
Big.
Walt, ACC runner-up is?
I'm going to go Miami.
I like that.
Followed by SMU.
I like SMU too.
Solid picks right there. Much more ahead as our kickoff show continues.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Have you been dreaming about that new deck or dock? Well, what are you waiting for? At Yoder's Building Services, we're in the business for making new deck and dock dreams come true. From Yellowwood brand pressure-treated pine to TimberTech composite and PVC decking, we've got the best materials for any outdoor living project. Whether you're a contractor or doing it yourself, at Yoder's Building Services, we'll help you every step of the way. Yoder's Building Services, where quality is a way of life. Visit us at goyoders.com.
Football is back, baby. And the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog, which you can play right now, right here in South Carolina. It's